Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, we're going to recap an unforgettable week in Pensacola, Florida. Baseball's on a four-game win streak. Tennis with a great start to conference play. Track and field being represented this week at Indoor Nationals. Lots of great stuff going on. But nothing better than what's happening with our special guest. Joining us, the head coach of the Sun Belt Tournament champion, A-State women's basketball team. It's our good friend, Destiny Rogers. How you doing, coach?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
How's that sound, champ?
It sounds beautiful. Beautiful.
Since Monday, when you won the championship, what's the moment that's been replayed in your mind the most?
13 seconds left in the game, and I started looking up at the clock, and I know it's about to happen. I'm trying to keep a straight face, keep my emotions intact, but I just lose it. And I look down at the bench, and I see my staff starting to get emotional. I see the excitement in the players' eyes, and I just started kind of replaying the journey in my head and just, you know, what we had to do to get to that point. And yeah, the emotions were just so overwhelming, but I was just so thankful. Number one, thankful to God, you know, as I always say, but just really thankful for the players that chose to come spend their last year here, not having a clue what this was going to be like, but they believed on day one. And we believed when a lot of people didn't. And I thought that just seeing everyone's hard work and belief pay off was just a big time moment for me.
Gosh, there's so much. So many things I want to talk to you about. You may feel like you've been on the psychiatrist's couch when this deal is done. But so those 13 seconds feel long or short?
They felt kind of long for a second because I had so many things running through my mind of, you know, how I felt a year ago. And, you know, when we were going through it with this team, trying to figure things out. And we took a risk to put in a brand new system with a brand new team when we knew we had to get it done this year. All those emotions just started happening, and that buzzer sounded, and I just saw the celebration on the court, and I saw that vision in my mind so many times, but it being reality, it was far better than I dreamed of.
I'll tell you the moment I started getting emotional, and I guess I was starting to get a lump in my throat in those final seconds too, but as I'm looking down at the court, kind of at the beginning of the celebration, and I see you hug your dad, and it was an extended hug with your dad, and I could tell that you guys were just soaking up that moment.
Yeah.
That's when I started to tear up a little bit. Yeah. And I can't imagine what that moment was like for you.
They've been through it all with me, and just to see them in the stands and see them on the court with us celebrating a championship, the first to ever do it. You know, it's one thing to win a championship, but to be the first, it was so amazing. And just to get that embrace from him and just to see how proud he was. And he was somebody in the rough times that I was calling. Like, hey, what do you think about this? We was bouncing ideas off of each other. And I'll tell you a cool thing that I haven't shared with anybody. So you're getting something that no one's gotten. So in the second half, we had to adjust our offense because their JMU's defense wasn't moving at all. So we had to get some movement. The offense that we were running came from Ronald Rogers. It was a five-out offense to get the defense moving, misdirection stuff to try to get into a ball screen to help our guards get downhill. That came from my dad after the App State game. After the App State game, I got home and I immediately drove to Little Rock. And I said, Dad, I got to come spend some time with you. And they had a game that night. I watched their game, and we spent a lot of time after that game talking about offense. And he said, I just feel in my gut that you got to have a five-out option. And so we spent 2 hours or so walking through this five-out motion that we could kind of run. And he looked at me, and he said, you're not trusting your gut. And he said, you are your best when your back is against the wall. You need to go show people who you are. And that was kind of the turning point of me starting to be like, you know what, you're right. I got to trust my gut on this. I got to stop second guessing stuff. And we changed some things in practice. We implemented that five out, and look at us now. So, you know, I texted him yesterday on the way back, and I said, did you realize we were running? He said, oh, yeah, baby.
It's so interesting to hear you say that about yourself. Your dad said you're best with your back and all. Because we talk about the way you built this team and your image from a style of play-wise, but they're the exact same. In fact, she humors me and lets me text her from time to time without texting me back, I'm an idiot. And on game day, you know, that morning I said, I can't think of a better team I'd rather have in this position with everybody thinking they're the underdog. And that's another way they're just like their head coach.
Yeah. Before every game, so I write the keys to the game, and then winner takes the marker and she writes something at the bottom, like a little bit of motivation for the team. Well, towards the end of the season, they started looking at the ESPN app, and it had us losing every game. And so each game, they would put the percentage they had for us to win. And against Troy, we had a 24% chance to win. And against JMU, it was a 12% chance to win. So they put the 12% chance up there before the championship game. And I didn't realize what they were putting because I didn't really ask them about it. But they told me after the Troy game what it was. So when I walked into the locker room and I saw 12% on the board and I just saw the look in their eyes, you could just tell that they were going to approach that game different.
I think I got chills just now. Wow. Okay. So you're getting motivation from all over. I do want to go back to a moment that we've talked about several times throughout the course of the season, but I want you to let people know just how big of a moment it was after the App State game.
Yeah.
That was the conference opener, and there had been some good wins early on. Arizona State certainly was a fantastic win and kind of showed the potential of this team.
Right.
But when you went to Boone and you lost that conference opener, what happened after the game? Kind of tell us what changed. And I'm talking about immediately after the game.
Just for context, this is December 29th. Mm-hmm. Lose and really kind of look bad doing it.
Yeah.
And you're 4-7 and now 0-1 in the league.
We were at an all-time low. And before the game was over with, I looked at my staff and I said, remind me to give you my – I already had my thoughts before the game was over of this is the breaking point and we got to fix this. And so I gave them my thoughts after the game. Then we go into the locker room and I allowed the players to kind of voice some opinions. It was not an easy conversation to listen to. I agreed and disagreed with some of the things that were being said, and I think that they probably agreed and disagreed with some of the things I was saying. But that's what family does, right?
Yeah.
You go through the fire, you have tough conversations, but for me as a head coach, it was important for me to hear what they were feeling and what they were seeing. And while I ultimately have to make the final decision, it's important for me to hear them out. And so when we walked away from that, literally as soon as I got home, I drive to Little Rock, spend time with my dad, come back the next day, and I feel more refreshed than ever. And here's something else you're going to get that no one else got. So coming into the new year, we had a team meeting, and I gave everybody a piece of paper, and I asked them to rip it in half. And we wrote down 2024, and I said, write anything that you want to release, whatever you want to get rid of and not take it to 2025, let's write it down on a piece of paper. And you're going to give that back to me. On the other piece of paper, let's write down who you want to be and what you want to accomplish in 2025. And you're going to keep that with you and you're going to look back at it. So they wrote down the things that they wanted to release and get rid of. Myself and staff did too. I took all of that and put it in a bag, took it home and burned it and sent the team a video of me burning the things that we were leaving in 2024. And everyone kept what they wanted to be in 2025 and what they wanted to achieve. And so we really went into that Marshall game saying, hey, anything that happened in 2024 is gone, it's done, it's dead. We burned it. And what we wrote on this 2025 paper, that's who we are moving forward. And you really saw a shift. And I know that first quarter was bad because we got down 20-9. But after that timeout we called and you really saw the shift and then we won that game, that was the start of something really special.
The big trendy videos, people to make those, we listen and we don't judge. That's what they had, one of those. But when you say, and we don't have to get all the way down in the weeds, we're talking about they were empowered to tell you whatever that is. If that's something X's and O's, if it's something related to practice, I mean, they could.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest thing they said. So we worked so much on our press, but we felt like our press could really disrupt people so much that we didn't really have to go over their half-court offense. And we were wrong. And the girls was like, well, we never guard their stuff. We never guard it. We don't know what we're guarding. And it made me mad because I was just like, y'all, we walked through it, but we weren't walking through it. And they were right. It was hard to hear in the moment, but they were right. And sometimes you got to be humble enough to say, you know what? You're right and I'm wrong. And after that, you know, I got upset in that locker room. But after we came back and we had the talk and we wrote down our stuff about 24 and 25, I told them, I said, you know what? Y'all were right. We got to make a change and we got to do some things differently. And so that's when we introduced Perfect Stop, the defensive drill, where at the end of every practice, we do a perfect stop for our press. You got to get a perfect stop. And then I don't care how long it takes. And then we added perfect stop for our opponent's half-court defense. And that's where you really saw our press defense and our half-court defense really take a turn, which allowed our offense to be better because we just started getting more stops.
What defines a perfect stop?
So we put 30 seconds on the clock, and you have to get a perfect stop in 30 seconds. Now, this is going to sound a little bit contradictory, but let's just say 5 seconds in, you get a steal. Well, that's not a perfect stop. You got to go the whole 30 seconds. So you might get 10 within the 30, but you got to finish the whole 30 perfectly for it to be done. So if you're not in a gap, if you swing and miss, if you don't box out, if you're not in help side, if you miss a defensive coverage, the clock completely starts over. So we had one day where we probably did it for about 45 minutes. And the word that when they mess, they hate this word now. When they mess up, I yell, reset. And it just, they would hear reset over and over again. What it does, it forces you to lock in and be disciplined and focus on what it takes to get the perfect stop. So if you look back at the game, right before we forced overtime, the camera flashes to Anna and you can see her mouth in perfect stop.
There's just so many great moments in this thing.
It really, so this is kind of silly on their part, but my high school alma mater actually asked me two different times to come speak recently. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to talk to a room full of athletes about? But a couple of the players that were at that first one were on their girls' basketball team and asked me to come back specifically and talk to them before they go to the state tournament. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I talked to them about is, you know, tried to highlight some things from Arkansas State teams having success that didn't require talent.
Yep.
And specifically with your guys' bunch, I said, this one doesn't apply to you guys because everybody thought you were going to be good. Mm-hmm. But, like, first thing with this team is that they didn't care what anybody outside said or thought about them. But the other thing is that they, you know, what to do with the sharing of the minutes. And, you know, at that point, you know, you had 10 players on the team and 8 of them led you in scoring at some point in time. And I said, they're undefeated when they have more assists than the other team. That means when we help our teammates score more than you help your teammates score, we don't lose. I said, they're the greatest example of we before me I've ever seen. Because you can't do what you guys just did if 9 of the 10 buy-in.
Agreed.
It had 100%. To be 10 for 10.
Well, let me just say this. They absolutely asked the right person to come speak to them because you don't realize how much you helped me. You know, you would come in my office and, you know, you would say things to me. You would text me encouraging messages. You would come talk to me right before the game. So I absolutely feel like they asked the right person to come talk to them. But you're right. The way that we play and the system that's in place, if you don't have players that will buy into it, it's not going to work. And to be quite frank with you, that's why I was struggling at first, because it was new for everybody. It was even new for me. And we started losing a couple games. And when you start losing a couple games, that's when the eyebrows start to kind of go up a little bit and they start to question it a little bit. But you have to be willing to stick to it, even if it is being questioned. And that's what myself as well as my staff, we chose to do. And I kept telling our team, it's not going to change. Either get on board or we just all going to sink together, because this is going to be what we're going to do. So once we started winning, you saw, and not that it wasn't a complete not buy-in. That it wasn't that they weren't bought in. It just was when you lose a couple games, it's easy to question.
They started getting the proof of concept.
There you go. So then we started winning a couple games, and you start seeing a different look in their eyes. You start seeing a different bounce in their step and a different approach to practice. And when we went to ULM and beat ULM at ULM, I knew that we were on to something.
The whole story from having 3 players left on the roster after last season to having to sell your players on a vision of what you wanted to do, how you wanted to play, the five in, the five out, finding that right mix, players that were unselfish enough to buy into the system, to being picked 13th in the preseason when obviously there was no belief from the outside, at least around the rest of the conference, that this could be done, to now winning a conference championship and taking this program to its first ever NCAA tournament. You could write a book on this stuff. I mean, this there's so many different storylines throughout the course of the season, but is there something you're most proud of?
I'm most proud of the no-quit mentality that myself, as well as Anna, Chris, Winter, Lizzie, Rudy, Jelly, and Katie, our athletic trainer, we were the ones that were here and went through it and decided to stick this thing out together no matter what. Chris, Lynn, Anna, and Winter, they told me, don't get me wrong, they questioned it too because everyone was leaving and Anna was like, well, I'm scared for this to be a rebuild going into my senior year. But she looked at me, she said, but I trust you. I trust you, and I'm loyal to you. So we're going to ride this out together. Same thing from Chrisland, same thing from Winter, same thing from my coaches. And we fought through it. So I would have to say that's probably the thing that I'm the most proud of, that we knew that it was going to be hard. We knew that the odds were going to be stacked against us, but we had a no-quit mentality, and we had a will to go get this thing done.
When you're picked 13th out of 14, and I use it like for volleyball, for example, they were in a similar spot, picked 6th out of 7 in the division. But at any point in the season, you could have walked by Coach Gerwig's office and seen the preseason poll probably taped up to his door.
Yeah.
That's not the way you guys did that.
We talked about it one time, and that was it. When it was released, I got in the middle of the huddle, and I said, they picked you 13th, but that's not where you're going to finish. But I also told them, if you don't want to finish that low, you better earn that in practice every single day. You better work like your life depends on it. And you got to go into this situation with a chip on your shoulder every single day. You don't win the games in the games. You're going to win your games in practice. And that was the only time we talked about it. The work ethic that I saw in this team and just kind of the chuckles that they had when they heard that we were 13th, you could just tell that they had no belief in that whatsoever. Yeah. We knew what we were capable of. I'm a true believer that when someone speaks something negative about you, don't give it any life. If you give it life, it can maybe come to pass. But we chose not to give it life, to talk about it one time and let it go. We get the opportunity to control our own destiny with our hard work, and that's what we chose to do.
I want to talk about the championship game because we're talking big picture, and I know that's been the main thing that everybody's been talking about, but I think that championship game is kind of a microcosm of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an extremely entertaining first quarter. Yeah. If I'm just watching that game and I've got no dog in the fight and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be an incredible game. You kind of knew that from the start. Because it was tied at 23 after one. Mm-hmm. It was back and forth. You see there's two really, really good teams on the floor. And I do want to remind everybody just how good that James Madison team is. I mean, they had won 20 in a row for a reason. And even their losses, what, three of the four losses are?
Top 25 losses,
It's an amazing team you're playing. But they start the second quarter on a 17-0 run. It's 40-23 with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. I want to hit pause right there.
Yep.
What's going through your mind at that moment?
This is going to be hard to get done. And out of respect for them, which, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to JMU, the regular season champs, go 18-0. How in the world do you do that, right? This Sun Belt Conference is so good. So to go 18-0 is simply amazing. They're well coached. For us to step into that game and know that we had no pressure on us was just a big deal. But in that moment, they go on that 17-0 run. I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking, dang, this is a championship team right here. This team is really good. Peyton McDaniel comes out. She gets the ball. She has a step back three. Roe gets it. She has a step back three. Comes off a ball screen. Hits a mid-range shot. And I'm like, ooh-wee, this is some good basketball right here. Like one time Peyton hit one and I said, dang. Like it was something. But I'll tell you this, I didn't have any doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
I just, for me, I was like, I know we got to run in us too. And they weren't even hitting rim. It was nothing but net, everything they threw up. So I was like, okay, at some point they got to get cold, but we got to go on a run pretty quickly or we might be in trouble. But I knew that the run was coming. I thought that we were playing a little timid. They came out like the champions. They played with a ton of swag. And I thought when they went on that run, we kind of backed down a little bit. So I called a timeout and I challenged them. And I told them we were playing a little bit too scared for me and that we weren't approaching this as the underdog. We were approaching as puppies at that time. And I thought that they really responded the right way.
It's funny, like, you know, Colton Crowder, the newest member of your coaching staff, when you guys got back to the airport the other day, we were talking and he was like, even then, like, he said the same thing. He's like, we went 7 minutes without scoring, we're down 17. And he goes, I never thought, oh man, we're done. He's like, man, we made this hard.
That's probably the best way to describe it. I was thinking, well, if we're going to get this win, we just made it extremely difficult because JMU is not a team. They don't beat themselves. If you're going to beat them, you have to beat them because every time you make a mistake, they capitalize off of. That's how good they are. And I think that they should have an opportunity to go to the NCAA. I think their resume is good enough. That's out of my hands, but that's my opinion about it. But I felt like, hey, if we could go on a little bit of a run and maybe get a little bit of momentum going into halftime, we got a shot. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, 9-0 to end that second quarter. And you could make an argument that three-minute stretch at the end of the half was as important as any.
100%.
And you get that banked-in three at the end of the half, and all of a sudden, you got momentum.
We got momentum. You watched that second quarter. I went back and watched it yesterday, and I'm watching that second quarter, and I'm like, man, this is really hard to watch. But going into halftime, you know, we're down 8. I'm thinking, hey, we stopped the bleed. Like, it felt like it was just an overflow of, like, hey, this is going to be really hard to come back from. But we cut it to 8. And when we cut it to 8, I was like, all right, y'all, we got a shot. We got a shot. So we had to go into halftime. And I had to kind of try to fire up that locker room as much as I could to give them the confidence to go out and play as hard as they could for 20 minutes.
Yeah, because, I mean, she didn't make that shot. Hey, you still ended the half on a 6-0 run, and it's 11. And, you know, that's manageable, but – You hit that, you get the kind of the jolt of hitting that, and it's 8. I mean, that feels like a different world.
The biggest thing that we told them was we felt like that was the best punch that they could give us, and we were still only down 8. If we only down 8, we got a shot. It doesn't matter. Like, you get down 17 within this system because of the pace that we play, we could catch you pretty quickly. And so we knew that we had to have some confidence going to the second half knowing, hey, we're in this. We have a chance to get this done.
And you mentioned, okay, maybe you were playing a little tight during that early part of the second quarter. But you also got to look at their perspective. What was it? They had an 88% chance, or that's what the odds makers put it at, of winning that game. They had won 20 in a row. So your press was starting to get to them early in the second half.
Yep.
You had that momentum going into the half. You really kept it going with the kind of pressure you were putting on them. And all of a sudden, they started to tighten up a little bit. Yep. Did you kind of sense that?
Oh, 100%. In the first half, we were not aggressive in our press. We were allowing them to throw it middle, throw it over the top every single time. And we kept telling them, just because they're running long, we still got to stay pressed up in our press to be aggressive in it so we can force some traps, force some floaty passes so we could try to run through some. We weren't doing that the first half. And so we told them in halftime, y'all are not trusting it. You're not trusting the press. You're not trusting each other. You got to do it no matter what. Even if they throw a long one and get a layup, you got to trust that we have to put some pressure on them to try to tighten them up and try to force them into some bad shots or some turnovers so we could get some offense. First half, we're taking the ball out the net too much. And when you allow their defense to get set, they're so good in their defense, it's hard to get good shots. That's what you saw in the second quarter. Difference in the second half, we started getting stops, able to run a transition, created some advantages, and we're able to get better shots in the second half.
Hard to play fast when you're throwing an inbounds pass.
There you go. Very hard. And they make it extremely hard because their defense, they're just sitting in the gaps, and we rely on getting to the paint and getting our kicks. They don't let you in the paint. So you better get some stops and try to run on transition.
This is really surface level because we talked about it before. As you saw this team turn the corner, that's really the kind of the one simple way to put it is that you finally saw this team believe that, oh, by the way, like, we get to play fast when you get a stop.
Yep.
See, hey, it's fun to say we're going to shoot more threes than anybody in the country and this and that and all that, but you really want to get to play that way? It starts with getting the defensive stop, and you kind of saw this bunch of kids finally kind of check into that.
That's exactly what it was. You know, you hear coaches talking about us and their game plan for us. They keep talking about, well, they just live and die by the three, and they just shoot a bunch of threes and all this. And it's like, no, we live and die by our defense. If we're getting stops, you're in trouble, because we're going to run it at you and we're going to create advantage that we do a really good job of sharing the ball. So it all boils down to our defense. We got to be disruptive in our press. And then if you break it in the half court, we got to try to force you to a bad shot, get a rebound so we can go. If we get out the net, it's tough.
The other crazy thing about this bunch, and honestly, it's just like, this thing is so remarkable, because like Monday is this team's season in 45 minutes. You know, you just roll and you score points left, right, and sideways, and then go 7 minutes and don't score. It wasn't like I was like, I'm sitting there thinking, not today. I've seen this show a lot of times, and I know that you've gotten away with it a lot of times because you can turn around and then score a bunch in a hurry, but not today. Yeah. But it's just how you stay sane during those stretches.
You just got to trust, you know, what you know that has worked for you all season long. At that point, 20 wins. We got 20 wins for a reason. So in that moment, I trusted what we do. But I knew that if we could just start getting some stops, that we could get some transition, score a couple buckets, get the crowd involved. Because that's one thing about our players. If they start hearing that crowd roaring, the energy just goes to a whole nother level. And that's what you really saw when we went on our run. The crowd got involved. Our energy amped up. You could see them tense up. And one thing about our players, if they see other players start to tense up, it's like they smell blood. Yep. Like they're a bunch of sharks. Yep. They smell blood. And they start attacking. That's 100% what happened. So in that moment, you're right. I was thinking that too. Like, this can't happen against them, because it's going to be really hard to get back in this because they don't beat themselves. But I also knew that if we could just get some stops and get out in transition, I felt like we could score enough to make it a game.
Yeah, it was good to see so many players step up when they had to. And Kennedy Montu, after getting the all-conference snub, being named all-tournament, I thought was really fitting. And then what Chrislyn Rose did, you mentioned her earlier, to take over the way she did and be named most outstanding player. I know you had to be thrilled for her.
So thrilled. When you think about Chrislyn, she didn't even play much last year. She didn't play until Izzy got injured. And so to come in and have to be the person that runs the show for us, you know, her and Mimi McCollister running the show for us, the point guard. If you want to be good in the system, you got to have elite point guards. That's a fact. Because the pace starts with them, the decision-making starts with them, and they feed our shooters. So to see the growth that she had from last year to this year, I told her in practice, I looked there and I said, have you realized that it took time to reflect that you went from not playing to an all-conference player in 1 year? Can you imagine that growth? But that's just the hard work that she's put in. She comes in and she requests to watch film. She studies film. She's a student of the game. And when you have a player that is willing to work that hard, you reap the benefits. Yeah. So I couldn't be more proud of her. And then talking about Kennedy Montu, I thought she absolutely was snubbed. And I felt like she went into the tournament with a chip on her shoulder. And boy, did you see it in that Troy game. She was fired up and then gets fouled twice in a championship game, goes and makes all 6 free throws. She hits a big-time shot, or one more from Zai in a big moment of the game, knocks down the 3. And so I was really proud to see her kind of get those flowers, because I thought she absolutely deserved it.
Another thing you and I talked about one day in your office was that this setup, this way you do things, lends itself to coming up short individually in those postseason honors.
Yeah.
Because people are going to vote for who played good against them, and mm-hmm. it could have been anybody.
Yep.
So that made sense. I was prepared for the all-conference teams to not really be represented the way you think a second-place team would have been. But what did you think about not getting Coach of the Year?
I wasn't surprised, to be honest with you. He went 18-0, Coach Sean O'Regan, and I have a lot of respect for him. He's won, and I think that he's a big-time coach. And how he's still at JMU, I don't know. He's a loyal man, but I think that he's definitely a P4 coach. Like, his brain and the way that he thinks and the way that he coach, a brilliant mind in women's basketball. So, you know, him going 18-0, I wasn't surprised. But I did feel like what we did was really incredible, being picked 13th, winning 15 in a row, finishing second. I thought that that was worthy, but I wasn't mad about it. I wasn't mad about it at all. I don't do this for accolades. You know, that I always say I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be about the team. But I will say this, I'd rather be dancing. I love it, and that would have been nice to get it, but give me the dancing shoes any day. I'll take them.
I got to do it off the heels of that one. But, I mean, there was so much noise. And, I mean, even from real close by, I mean, you know, inside the fan base, you know, this time a year ago, all the way through late January, yep. Maybe. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. You don't keep receipts?
I got receipts, but they're just for me. Just for me. And, you know, everybody got their different personalities. You got some people that'll retweet them and say something and things like that. But, like, for me, I use it as motivation. So there were times where I thought about the things that were being said, and I'll never address it publicly because I don't feel the need to. But I would think about it, and I allow those things to fuel me. And that's what people don't realize about me. It hurts when you see it. I don't care how strong you are. It's going to hurt. It hurts to see people talking about you negatively, especially when you know you work hard every single day. But what it does for me is it might hurt me, but it's not going to make me quit. It's not going to make me give up. What it does is it gives me an extra fire and an extra motivation that I need to push that much harder, not to prove you wrong, but to prove myself right, because I know what I'm capable of, and I know the journey that God put in front of me and the vision that he gave me, and I choose to trust that over anything. And most importantly, I don't seek validation in people at all. So, yeah, I got receipts, but it don't even matter, because I think the biggest receipt of them all was standing on that podium and holding up that trophy.
It's interesting you said I'm not trying to prove them wrong. I'm trying to prove myself right. Yep. Because if it was the other, if you said I'm going to prove you wrong, then you're still empowering it.
Yeah, absolutely. But for me, I think that this moment is bigger than me. And I think that for me, it's an opportunity to show not only Jonesboro and Arkansas State, but the state of Arkansas, what Arkansas State women's basketball is all about. I've said this even when we weren't winning. We had two losing seasons. And I said this last spring and summer at the Caravans, that I believe that Arkansas State is a gold mine. And I believe that. I believe that you can win here. We have the support. We have the fan base. We have the facilities. You can do it. We did it with the odds stacked against us. So imagine what we can continue to build with a little bit more resources. And I think that that's important. And I think that that's the next step for this program of, hey, this ain't a one-time thing. This is just the start of something that could be really, really special here in Jonesboro.
Let's put it out there.
Yeah.
This team's total NIL was
$0. Not a penny. Not a cent. Every last one of these players came here for nothing. They came here because they believed in me as the head coach. They believed in the staff, the program, the vision, the university, the fan base, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so for that alone, I will forever be in debt and grateful to these kids. These kids changed my life. And I told them after the game, they did way more for me than I could have ever did for them. Because a year ago, I was questioning everything. Should I be coaching? Is this the right path for me? Am I in the wrong profession? And that's what happens, right, when you fail. You those thoughts come. I'm human. But when they showed up to campus, they made me believe. Just seeing the hard work and the dedication and the belief that they had in me just gave me another oomph to just continue to work my tail off for them, to try to be the very best that I could be, to try to lead them to where I knew that they ultimately could be. So I think now we have an opportunity now to not be in this same situation, because while I do think that we were favored and we're super blessed, it was really hard to do. So now our community has the opportunity to help us, help get us to that next level of, hey, this isn't just a one-time thing. Let's get in a situation where we could dominate. Let's be like JMU. They win. You know why they win? Because they have resources. And when you have resources, it helps. I don't care what anyone says. It helps. It helps you get the right people in place to continue with that success. And now that I feel like we've earned it. We've earned it with being the first to ever do it. So now I think a lot of people have the opportunity to step up and invest in women's basketball. And I truly believe it's time.
You've got it done with $0. Imagine what you can build with just a little bit of help.
We could build a dynasty with a little bit more resources. I can promise you that. And one thing I'll say is, you can say whatever you want to say about my coaching, you can't question our recruiting. We know how to recruit.
Yes,
and we can get it done.
And I imagine since Monday, it's already helped in recruiting.
100%. We already have coaches reaching out saying, hey, this kid is in the portal. Do you want her? We didn't have that last year. We were knocking on people's door, begging, asking, hey, help us with this kid. We got people reaching out to us saying, hey, this kid fits your system. Do you want her? So we're going to have a lot of opportunity for really good players that want to come play for us.
Now, the interesting thing, and I don't want to get all the way to skip past what's coming next, but like these kids came on board with you with no proof of concept on an ocean. Now there is proof of concept, and you can sit down, you can sit a kid down and sell him, well, hey, don't you want to come here and play in the offense that shoots more threes than anybody in the country, and we press and blah, blah, blah. Is it going to be harder when somebody's going to go look at the stat sheet and say, hey, come here and realistically probably play 20 minutes a game?
It might be for some players, but it won't be for the right players. And for me, last year we had non-negotiables when we went through the recruiting process. That's not going to change. So if you're the type of player that wants to come in and play 30 minutes and average whatever, then this is not the system for you. And I'm going to be clear and frank with every recruit that we talk to, because it's important that not only we get the right players here, but we got to get the right people that believe in what we're doing, because without that, it's not going to work. So we get to be even more literal about what we're doing. And they have the choice to decide if they want to come be a part of something greater than themselves, or if they want to choose me over we. And if they want to choose me over we, this is not the program for them.
Just look at the results.
Yeah,
it works.
Look at the results. It works, and we're going to win. So if you want to come win, and another thing that we get to tell them, when you go dive back into these stats of some of our players, they did more with less. And that's what they have to realize. You got players that play 30 minutes and they average 12. We got players that play 20 minutes and they average right at 11. You could do more with less if you really buy into this.
Come in, play hard, go sit down,
get your quick breather, repeat. We're going to get up a ton of shot attempts. You can go get steals. You can go get offensive rebound putbacks. There's so many ways that you can score in this system.
Now, let's say that, I mean, this is kind of down in the weeds, and I apologize. And I could sit here all day talking with you about this. But another little thing that probably is worth pointing out, another thing that helps make this work, because it hasn't always been this way at Arkansas State, is that your administration didn't make you put 15 on scholarship.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. And, yeah, that's a huge deal, because the way that we play, and just with the portal in general, you cannot keep everybody happy. You got 15 players on the roster. They're not all going to play. It is what it is. I will say moving forward, we would like to get that number to 13. I think 13 is a magic number for us, because while we were super blessed this year with no injuries.
Right, that's a lucky
you
deal.
You do have to plan for that.
Yeah, that's big time.
And you have to plan for, you know, Kristen Rose, she doesn't play against UT Martin. She doesn't play against Tarleton. Those are probably two different games if she's on the floor. She goes down with a concussion. We only got one point guard left, and we struggled those two games because we didn't have a two-point guard rotation. So we understand it's important for us to go get even more depth. But I thought that it was big that we didn't have to go get 15, because especially after what we went through last year, I don't care how successful you are. You got that many kids, and people don't play, they're going to leave. It is what it is. So just being able to kind of do this the way we needed to do that, I really appreciated that. And another good thing for us is I think that we are ahead of the curve on this. We get to tell recruits, you might play less minutes, but we're not recruiting you to come sit. You might go somewhere and sit. We're recruiting you to come play, and that's not a lie. It's the truth.
I do want to give you a chance to talk about the kind of turnout we had in Pensacola.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal.
It felt like a home game in that championship.
So I'm a passionate coach. I was a passionate player. When we went on that run, the second quarter, Troy, we go on that run and we hit all those threes and we start pressing up that press. And I heard the crowd roaring. Our team went to another level. Championship game. We get to that second half. Mimi McCosta hits those back-to-back three-pointers. The crowd starts roaring. The energy that they gave our team, I really felt like got us over the hump. And that's one thing that I've been saying was, imagine if you guys showed up like that for us at the bank. because the way that this system is designed, it's fun to watch. I had people come up to me and some of my staff and say, man, we've never watched y'all play before. This is really fun. And we like, yeah.
Hey, you can't help but then build the bank on the beach.
Come to the bank and see it for yourself. Like, I think that that was a blessing in disguise because people got to see how fun this program is going to be to watch for years to come. And so my challenge to Jonesboro is, hey, let's pack this thing out next year. Come watch this team play, because when you guys create that energy for this system and the way that we play, it's going to give them a ton of energy. You're going to see those three balls going in. You're going to see steals. You're going to see a fast-paced game. And I think that it's just fun basketball, period, to watch. You know, I went back and I watched the game yesterday, and I tried to, like, take the perspective out from a coach and just be a fan watching it, and it was cinema. Yeah. It was must-see TV, a fun game to watch. And so I hope that the city of Jonesboro is really excited about what we're building and what we're going to continue to build. And I didn't say, I should have said this, I kind of went down a rabbit hole. Thank you, Jonesboro, for coming to Pensacola and supporting both us and the men's basketball team the way you did. We had the absolute best crowd there. And the way that they supported us,
without a doubt,
meant the absolute world. We got the best fans in the country, and I could not be more appreciative.
If I go back, it's not necessarily a year to the day, but if I go back about a year ago, and I talking to this young coach thrown into it, is about to see everybody bounce, going to get left three players. And I said, Coach, don't worry about it. A year from now, you're going to be waiting on Selection Sunday to see where you're going. What would you tell me?
You out your mind. In the moment, that's how I felt. I have to be transparent because I kept, you know, I have a strong relationship with God, and I kept saying, Lord, when you do what you do, I'm going to tell my testimony. And a year ago, when it all went down, we drove to a junior college game, which was about 6 hours away. And we left at like 5 o'clock in the morning. This was the day after everything happened. And my staff, they were sleeping because it was so early. And I chose to drive because I wasn't sleepy. And I probably cried for like 3 hours straight. I had to give myself that moment to get those emotions out because it was hard. But once I got done crying, I lifted my chin up and I was like, Des, you're going to get through this. God going to see you through this. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know when he's going to do it, but you're going to get through this. And it's going to be hard, but you got to get yourself up every single day. And you got to fight like only you know how to do. If you would have said that to me a year ago when I was crying in that car, I would have told you it was crazy. Mm-hmm. If you said that to me after I saw the team for the first time, I would have told you, I think it's possible. And I really believe that when I saw this team for the first time, I believed that we could do it.
Well, you are going to be watching that selection show on Sunday night with a whole new perspective.
Yep.
I love that you have talked about your faith as much as you do, and there's a million things we love about you, but that's certainly right there at the top of the list.
Let me tell you something. I can't speak for anyone else's journey, but God has never let me down, ever. He's been with me every step of the way. He has favored me, and he ain't done yet. So I trust him. I believe in him, and I'm just thankful that he chose me. He called me to do this. I knew that I was here for a reason. I truly, truly, truly believe that this is just the start of something really big and special.
You're the best.
Y'all the best. And I appreciate y'all more than y'all know.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming in, and congratulations again on everything.
And thank you for having me.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. We talked about the women, but the men's team also made a great run in Pensacola that came up just short. Couple of great wins for the Red Wolves in both the quarterfinal and the semifinal rounds. 3-point victories over both Marshall and South Alabama. Sunday's victory was win number 24 of the season. That's a new school record for wins in a single season. And both of those games, our guys showed just a whole lot of grit, a lot of toughness. They were both back and forth games the entire way. Neither team led by double digits at any point, but our guys just made big plays, big shots when they had to have them.
Yeah. Ever since he's been here and said that word, it makes me think about Terrence Ford. And I say, you know, came from Chicago, and in Chicago, they play grimy. Well, you got to be able to play grimy. Everything's not going to look like a Formula One race. Some days it's going to look like, you know, mud bogging. To be able to win multiple ways. I think his team's shown it could do that this year. You could clear back to like the Stephen F. Austin game, right? Where you just had to win a slobber knocker. And so I know people think they aren't built for that. I don't necessarily agree with that assessment. And they showed that they could go grind a couple out there in Pensacola.
Knew it was going to be a tight game once again on Monday in the championship, facing a Troy team that I don't think anybody was surprised. It was A-State and Troy in the finals. Two great contests in the regular season. The Red Wolves had won at Troy back in January, beat them by 6 at their place, came from behind in the final minutes to do it, and then Troy had the 1-point win in Jonesboro. So the road team had won both meetings during the regular season, and this was a close game again. It was a 2-point A-State lead at the half. And then in the second half, the Red Wolves went up by as many as 8. Darian Ford hit that 3 in the corner to put us up 66-58 with just over 9 minutes to go. And at that point, it felt like things were really starting to go in A-State's way, had some momentum. But, hey, credit to Troy. They found a way down the stretch. That final 9 minutes, they ended up outscoring the Red Wolves 36-15, and they go on to win it 94-81.
I'm happy for the conference that, I guess in this scenario, that Arkansas State and Troy won their quarterfinal games. I'm glad it got to those four teams in the semis, the four co-champs, to let them sort it out. Because I think
the format worked.
To that point, yeah. But I think just letting those four teams slug it out. And the thing about it is, I think if those four teams ran it 5 times, it may go 5 different ways. I mean, just scenarios of who wins versus in what. So interesting, but I was glad to see it kind of stay chalk there on the women's side. I think maybe the semis were maybe 1, 2, 3, 5. So it's pretty chalky. Yeah, so I'd be interested to kind of see what they thought of the format, because you did that format and did those things, and neither number one seed won still.
I thought DeAndre Dominguez and Darian Ford were outstanding in the championship game. DeAndre, 19 points. Darian had 17. Everybody played their guts out. I thought foul trouble played a big key in the championship game. Terran Todd had picked up his third foul with 6.5 minutes to go in the first half, so he had to battle foul trouble. Isaiah Nelson fouled out with 3.5 minutes to go in the game. Kobe Julian was fighting foul trouble as well. But again, Troy gets the credit. They win the championship game. They're going to the NCAA tournament, but the season is not over for A-State basketball.
No,
they're going to have some chances to move on here.
Yeah, and we'll just have to kind of see as the week and weekend unfold what that means and how it looks and where it is. But, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that this team has more basketball to play.
Terrence Ford and Isaiah Nelson, by the way, both named to the All-Sun Belt tournament team. And the Red Wolves men now at 24-10. On the season.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea, customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. How about that baseball team? They've won four in a row now. Good to see them get a little bit of momentum before conference play begins. They sweep UAPB over the weekend and then defeated Memphis on Tuesday night. 4-2, the final in that one. Cross jumper with a game-winning two-run single in the bottom of the eighth. Starting to see some good things, in particular offensively, and you and I were talking about it, and you were able to call all four games here in the past few days. And one thing that the Red Wolves are doing is giving themselves opportunities offensively. They're getting more runners on base, and for guys, young guys like an Ashton Quiller, who's a redshirt freshman, to triple in four consecutive games, that's got to be a school record. I can't imagine there's been any player with a triple in four straight games.
I'll say this, and maybe Davey Stinchcomb has taken a deeper dive into this, but when the single season record for triples in a season is seven, I think everybody's pretty safe saying nobody's ever hit a triple in four straight games.
That's pretty remarkable to do it in four consecutive games. But just overall, good to see some wins accumulate here to win four in a row going into a big conference opening series this weekend against Marshall. It's good for the team, good for confidence, and hopefully we can get some big crowds out there this weekend as well. Friday at 6, Saturday at 6, and Sunday at 1, the game times.
Yep, and Saturday will include the official dedication ceremony of Slayton Family Field.
Anybody who has not had a chance to come out yet to see the new Slayton Family Field, great opportunity to do that.
I had a buddy of mine on Sunday's game against UAPB sent me a text. It was during a review, and now during reviews, they're able to put the ESPN Plus feed on the video board so you can see what, like when they start showing replay and zoom in and frame by frame, it's up on the video board. And a buddy of mine who's gone to a lot of games at A-State texted me, he said, I didn't think I'd ever be watching a replay on the video board at an A-State baseball game.
Yeah, it's just one of the many nice changes this year. That video board looks fantastic, by the way. Track and field with indoor nationals this weekend in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and the Red Wolves are represented. Michelle Ogbemudia, the school record holder and Sunbelt Conference champion, will be competing in the women's weight throw. She's one of just two women total from the Sunbelt Conference to compete in nationals, so a big deal. And then I want to talk about the tennis team because they keep on winning, and they won their conference opener at ULM on Monday, 5-2. And tennis now 8-4 on the season, obviously 1-0 in conference play, and they're going to be on the road for a couple of more matches this weekend. They'll be in Lafayette on Friday and then at Texas State on Sunday.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. There's nothing to say that we haven't said here several times, but the ability Coach Lama has had to come in and kind of flip the switch and change the culture that quick. Even last year with an inherited roster and when it was all about just changing mentality, he did it. And then now you start seeing him, you know, in putting his own kids in there. It's pretty remarkable to see what they're doing in a quick, short amount of time.
As we record this, the men's golf team is competing at the Grand Canyon Invitational in Phoenix. 18 teams in that event. I think last time I checked, they were in the top five. So Mike Hagan's team competing well.
Yeah, they had a little extra golf to play on Wednesday. A-State got its 36 holes in, but there were teams that didn't play, got suspended. So Probably made a Wednesday a longer day for some folks, but oh well. You're playing golf. Shut up.
Bowling is going to be in action this weekend. They'll be at the Music City Classic in Smyrna, Tennessee. That's a big tournament because it's the final tune-up before the Conference USA Championships. And then, of course, after that, they'll start making their run at another NCAA championship. Runner-up the last few years and hopefully can get over the hump.
Three of the last four.
All right, anything else before we get out of here?
No. What a wild week it's been. Uncharted waters coming up in the next few days. Hope to see folks out Sunday night. Come check out the selection show with the women's basketball team, and can't wait to see what happens from here.
Thanks again to Destiny Rogers for coming in and visiting with us. Just couldn't be happier for her and everything that's happening with this women's basketball program. Such a special, special time. Thanks to our man, Davey Stinchcomb, setting that up for us. For everyone who's been a part of this one, everybody listening in, we always appreciate you listening, and we hope you join us again next time for our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Kavanaugh Auto Group.